opinion, if you had to pick something, because there's always things that a coach, a player, a program, you always have to overcome or deal with. In your opinion, what's the biggest thing the Huskers have to deal with getting back on the right track of Husker football?
I don't know. I mean, I think what you see nowadays in whether it be college or pro football is how quickly things can turn around. And so, I think less and less do you have, players that look at any type of situation as they're, whether they're high school kid looking to go to college or, a free agent in the pros looking where to go. Everybody believes things can change very quickly. And so, instead of, years past, you kind of thought, oh, well, geez, that organization, been down for so long, there's no chance for them to get back on track, in this time that I'm going to be there. I don't think that's the case anymore. And so, like I said, I don't know if there's really anything that's going to hold them back with where they're at right now. They're going to have the fan base. They're going to have, the things in place when you're talking about weight room and structure of a program. You've got a coach in place that everyone's excited about. As I said, Big Ten, best quality of football. I just think they have everything going for them that I don't think there's really anything that stands in the way. As long as you can recruit the players that fit your system, I think Nebraska has everything else, and I just don't see any reason why they're not going to be able to recruit those players. And once again, have top players in the country competing for them.
All right. Now, so can I put you on the spot a little bit, maybe get a prediction for the 2018 record this upcoming season? And in your opinion, what would constitute a successful 2018 season? Because it is year one under Scott Frost's regime.
Man, I wouldn't even have an idea to give you a prediction on wins and losses. I just think it's way too early for that, and I would have to look at their schedule. If I remember right, Cade was telling me that they got a pretty tough schedule this year when you look inside the conference.
Yes, they do.
Some of the teams that they have to play. So, that's going to be difficult from that standpoint. But I believe success is always determined by competitiveness. And, how competitive are you week in and week out? How competitive are you against the best programs in the conference? But if you win those games or not, if you're competitive in those games and you see the strides being made and you see the talent being there and you just have to learn how to win games and how to make plays at crucial times, that to me is a successful season. And so, when you're playing teams like the Ohio States and the Michigans and the Michigan States, that are good every year, I don't think you can always base it off of wins and losses. I think you're going to be able to see when you watch the product on the field and you watch how they compete against those teams and you say, okay, we are moving in the right direction. We've got a number of pieces in place that we see a year or two from now, we're going to be able to compete in the Big Ten.
Now, I got a couple of NFL questions for you. And, you probably answered most of these questions before, but probably a little bit of a new audience, Husker Nation, getting to know you a little bit. Is it all right if we dive into the NFL just a smidge?
You bet. Let's do it.
All right. So I wanted to, and bear with me, it's going to be a little bit longer of a question. What was it like going undrafted in 1994? And at one point, you were stocking shelves at Hy-Vee. You returned to Northern Iowa, where you played college ball, and you were there as a graduate assistant. You went the Arena Football League route for a couple years in 1998. You were the Rams' third-string quarterback. Then 1999, Trent Green gets hurt. I had the opportunity to play with Trent while I was in St. Louis, an incredibly nice guy. But he gets hurt. You're the starter. 6 months later, Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP. In fact, the articles that I were reading, a couple of them, and I quote, Kurt Warner is considered to be the greatest undrafted player in NFL history. So what was that journey like during the hard times and when you reached the top? Did you ever feel like giving up? And how did you keep yourself grounded when you did achieve success?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was a long, crazy journey. And, we all have this dream when we're growing up, if we want to play professional sports, this is how it's going to play out. I'm going to go to a big college program, like University of Iowa, University of Nebraska, going to get drafted, go into the NFL, and everything's going to kind of play out in this perfect path. And obviously, mine couldn't have been more different than the way that I dreamed it. And for so many years, I wished it would have been different. I wished, it could have been more like I had dreamed, but I wish I could have got the opportunity sooner. I would have loved to have seen what could have happened, had I got into the NFL right out of college and all those different things. And it's crazy how time and perspective changes all of us. because now I sit back and look at what I was able to accomplish. And, you know, even in the different arenas that I played in, to be able to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, which is such a humbling honor to receive, especially with the path that I took. You know, I look back now and go, man, I am so glad that it played out the way that it did. I'm so glad that I have the story that I have, because I know that no one else is ever going to be able to walk the same path. They're never going to be able to say, hey, I did it just like that. And I love that part of it. I love the fact that so many people can take inspiration when they find themselves not where they wanted to be, not where they thought they were going to be, or where the dream, you know, should have taken them. They find themselves in a different place. And I think many can take inspiration from my story and be encouraged by my story that, hey, Kurt was there too. Kurt was in that moment and still found his way to the mountaintop. And I think that's so much of what life is that very few people have it play out like we dream it. Most of us have to take that crooked path and find, you know, a back door to our dream. And, you know, there were definitely moments of discouragement, moments of frustration, moments where I wondered if it was over and if it was time to give up on it. But I had some great people around me, some great encouragement, and just always felt like when I was on the field and I was between those lines that I could play at the highest level and I could play as well as anybody. And so even though there were some discouraging moments, the one thing that I was never discouraged by was what I did between the lines. When I got between the lines, I played, you know, whether it was, you know, college football. I only played 1 year in college, but I was, you know, voted the player of the year in our conference. Then I, you know, don't make it in the NFL, but I get a chance to play arena football and played 3 years in arena football and was voted the top quarterback in the league during that time and went to 2 championships, played in Europe, you know, statistically was the best quarterback in Europe. And so when I was playing, I was always, you know, very successful. And, you know, although people were telling me along the way, well, you can't play, you can't play, you can't play, the evidence was always there for me personally that when I got that opportunity, I could play. And so I didn't want to give up on the dream until somebody in the NFL gave me the chance and I proved to them or proved to myself that I couldn't do it. And so that's what really kept me going was, you know, I've shown that I can do it. I've proven to myself that I can do it. Until somebody shows me I can't, I got to keep trying. And very fortunate for me, I got that chance with St. Louis, and Dick Vermeil gave me that opportunity. And then, unfortunately, due to Trent's injury, you know, I got catapulted into the starting role. But again, it was all about just getting between those lines and getting that opportunity at the highest level and then taking advantage of it.
Now, I got to ask, what were your nerves like? Because you only played 1 year of college ball. I got to assume you hadn't played a lot of high-level matchups up to this point. What were your nerves like going into the Super Bowl, and then after you'd won, what was the feeling afterwards after you'd won the Super Bowl championship?
Well, I mean, I was nervous before every game, Adam. It didn't matter, you know, if it was a preseason game, a regular season game, game one, or the Super Bowl. Every game I was nervous, and I always just looked at that as, if it meant something to me, no matter, you know, what it was, anytime I was putting myself on the line, it was okay to be nervous about it, you know, because, it, you know, inside it was important to me to do my job well when I got out there. And the Super Bowl was no different. I think the hardest part about the Super Bowl and the nerves was simply that, you know, once you got to the Super Bowl city, it was football 24/7. You couldn't get away from it. You couldn't, you know, leave your hotel room and not get bombarded by fans. You couldn't go out for a nice dinner and just relax. Your kids and family weren't there, so the normalcy of life changed. And so that whole period of time, that whole week or 2 weeks that you have before, you're just constantly stewing on the game and thinking about the game. And all that does is just ramp up those nerves more and more and more until, you know, that kickoff on Sunday evening. So I think that was the hardest part, was managing the nerves, not just Super Bowl Sunday, but the entire week leading up to it, where it didn't kind of overwhelm you and affect your preparation and affect your ability to play well, you know, once game and once the kickoff happened. And then winning the Super Bowl, I mean, it's just one of those things that you just can't explain. It's like having your first child. It's like getting married to your wife. There's just certain things and moments in your life that it's hard to put words to. And, you know, from the standpoint of playing sports, that's what it was all about, is you know, is getting to the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl, being able to celebrate and experience that with your teammates, and knowing for that moment your team was the best team in the world and that you were going to go down in history. Just an incredible moment, an incredible feeling of accomplishment, pride and joy and excitement. But it's just, it's really hard to take those things and you know, somehow put it in a box and put it into words and explain it to people. It's just one of those things that you just hope everybody gets a chance to experience, because it's that special.
So you talked about the Rams in St. Louis. We both played for the Rams. So what was your, what sticks out to you the most about your time there in St. Louis with the Rams?
Well, I mean, it was such a great period of time. I mean, I think what, you know, sticks out besides the people. I mean, I love the people, you know, very much like the basket, the people of the Midwest and in Missouri were unbelievable in the way that they supported me and our team, my family, and what we were trying to do. But I think what I remember when you talk about the football standpoint is that I think, you know, A, we ushered in a new brand of football. The way we played football, you know, back there in the late 90s, early 2000s, is how football is played now. We ushered in the idea of that you can win throwing the football 35, 40 times a game. You can win by pushing the ball down the field and putting pressure on teams, you know, through the air, as opposed to, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust and being able to win the line of scrimmage, so to speak. So we ushered in a new brand of football. And then I think just the talent that we had, what we accomplished in those 3 really solid years offensively, I think you're never going to see that equal again, you know, because of the unbelievable talent that we had on the field, because it was a new brand of football, because of, you know, the number of points that we scored and the way that guys came into their own and the number of Hall of Fame players that I believe one day will come from that squad. It was just a special point in time, not only for me as a person because I had finally made it, but because of what we did with that group and what we accomplished and how high of a level we played at for an extended period of time. It was just, you know, unheard of. You know, it's been unheard of in our league to see that kind of sustainability with that kind of talent in one place. And so, you know, I think those are the things that will always jump out and hang with me about the period of time that I spent there in St. Louis.
All right. Kurt, I want to thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. And until next time, Husker Nation, go Big Red. And always remember,
throw the bones.
Thanks again to our sponsor, Nebraska Spine Hospital. Ladies and gentlemen, when it's your spine, you do not want to mess around, and experience matters. That's why you can trust the experts at Nebraska Spine Hospital, the region's only spine-specific hospital. They are the best at what they do.